Today on Real Radio.
Anytime someone speaks of a second thing needed for salvation, let your antenna go up and go up strong and high because something's wrong. The Judaizers said, be born again, yes, but secondly, keep the law. And that's an abomination.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letters written by the Apostle John. Now, besides the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation, the Apostle of Love, John himself, wrote three New Testament letters. We just wrapped up our series through 1 John, and over the next few editions of Real Radio, Pastor Jack will take us through the second and third of these epistles. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from the entirety of 2 John, by the way, a very concise and straight to the point letter. This is a lesson called We Want Faith, Hope, and Love.
Not only at the conclusion of 1 John, he writes 2 John, and he writes 3 John, and he writes the book of Revelation, all in the year 90 to 95 AD, the Apostle John. And so this evening we look at these verses, these 13 verses, and we'll glean several things out of them. Before we do that, jot down the title if you would, and that is, we want faith, hope, and love. And that's what John's going to be talking about tonight in our study. We want, as Christians, faith, we want, as Christians, hope, and we want, as Christians, love. And we will see how tonight those very desires of our heart have been placed there by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. 2 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, John says there, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us, and we will be with us, or it will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we received commandment from the Father, and now plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things which we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I did not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen, says John. The background to this writing is somewhat important to us as we get into this. First of all, the early church was plagued with those of whom the scriptures warned about. No doubt John dealing with them. And some were known as the Judaizers, and some were known as those who taught that Jesus Christ, as being Judaizers, were ones that said, number one, you come to faith in Christ and be born again. But secondly, anytime someone speaks of a second thing needed for salvation, let your antenna go up and go up strong and high because something's wrong. The Judaizers said, be born again, yes, but secondly, keep the law. And that's an abomination. And Paul and John and James and the apostles fought against the Judaizers. You can read the book of Galatians and the book of Romans about this, where they said, yes, come to faith in Jesus, but also do this. If anyone comes to you saying, yeah, you're saved by faith in Christ, but also you need to, hey, back away from them. They're perhaps modern-day Judaizers. The early church was plagued by them. Then there were those known as false apostles who, for example, attacked the ministry of Paul in his gospel of grace. They made fun and made light of the grace of God. And they assigned not only salvation through Christ, but it was also by works. And many of them said that you needed to also be circumcised. And they tried to lay this upon many of the brethren, the Gentile brothers. And John writes against them in his first, second, and third epistle. And then there were those that were known as the Gnostics. And these guys not only were powerful then, they're powerful now. And the Gnostics believed that Jesus was certainly a real person, but that he, when he rose from the dead, did not bodily resurrect. He was somewhat of a phantom spirit, a ghost of some sorts, that he appeared to be solid, but in fact was not, and that he could not be exactly the manifestation of God come in the flesh, because all that was of the flesh had to be evil. And so they rejected the true manifestation of Jesus Christ as God in human flesh. And so the Gnostics were a very diabolical group of people. All three of these camps made it a point to agree on one thing, and that is they called themselves Christians. They went in and out of churches and wreaked havoc. And what they would do is that they would get groups or clusters or sections of the church to hear their damnable doctrines subtly, very carefully, and lead them astray. Jesus warned in his earthly lifetime, he said, be careful that in the end, though it had always been since his teaching, many false prophets would arise. And by the way, there's more false prophets now than ever before in human history, on the earth today, in all places, everywhere, false doctrines and false prophets and false teachers. Jesus said in Matthew 24:11, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. So we live in an amazing time, you and I do, because this is taking place, but also it should bolster our faith because Jesus warned us beforehand. But also John is going to show us this evening that we need to be people dedicated to faith, dedicated to hope, and dedicated to love, because there are those, even among us, that Satan sees to it, have been sown among the faithful that are in fact imposters. And you say, Jack, not here, right? No, right here. Well, who are they? I don't know. But I can tell you that when I find out, they don't come back. And God has a very keen way of revealing who they are. And, you know, the Lord is a wonderful pastor, you know? He's a great shepherd. And he truly watches over his flock. And so, wherever there's a work of the Spirit happening, there will be a work of the anti-spirit happening. You can bank on that. And I know that makes some people a little nervous, but cheer up. That's just the way that it is. Wherever something great is going on for God and the word is being proclaimed, the enemy must be there. Do you understand that? It shouldn't surprise you. When you set your heart to prayer, to Bible reading, to serving God's people, difficulty will arise. Well, that's why I don't sign up for anything. That's why I don't help anybody. That's why I don't want to read my Bible. That's why I don't pray. Oh, no, don't do that, because you're falling into a horrible pit by doing that. Satan's desire now that you're saved is to keep you in that sterile place that he, so to speak, you know, takes all of your power away. No, no, trust God. Step out and follow the Lord and minister in his name. But the enemy will respond. But wouldn't it be great if all of us have the heart now, tonight, and as one man tonight, to rise up and to say, hey, you know what? I want to sign up to be one who gives the enemy, Satan, a black eye. Wouldn't it be great if in the spirit we could give the enemy a black eye? I would love to see that happen. You know what? You read the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and you see what happens, and Satan is really, really in for a rough time. And it's very exciting. It's very, very good to see and to hear. And that wicked one that plagues you, that messes with your head and your heart and your flesh, his day's coming. Until then, we want to have faith, hope, and love in our lives and to be received by those around us. First point in our study this evening is verses 1 through 6, and that is faith must be practical in the church. If we want faith, hope, and love, we must realize first that faith must be practical in the church. He says here, the elder, very important, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Verses 1 and 2 teach us here that faith comes in knowing the truth. Listen, faith must be practical in the church. Let's make it really ours. Faith must be practical in this church, or else we're pretenders, we're fake, we're frauds. Faith. We often, and we all pray, God, give me more faith. And we are to have more faith. But listen, faith is an amazing thing. First of all, Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But God gives us his word with the intent that we're going to do something with his word. That we receive it, and then we get up and go out and do it. So faith and its practicality must first be operated here among us. It doesn't matter if we reach the world or the world down the street. We as a church need to reach one another. And the first thing that we do regarding our faith is to know the truth. And John says here, first of all, concerning the truth, that it is something that abides forever, or it's something that we will have forever. It's been granted to us as Christians. Those of you who are believers tonight, you walk in the truth. And it's been granted by God. He says, the elder. That's pretty interesting wording. It's kind of cute, actually, because we know this for a fact. According to church history, John was very old at this time, very old. And they would bring him in. He pastored the church at Ephesus. They would bring him in on a stretcher. And as they would bring him in, he had a little thing that he would do. He would say, brethren, love one another. That was his thing. Brethren, love one another. He's known as the apostle of love. When he says the elder, it is the Greek word presbyteros, where we get the word presbytery or presbyterian. And this is what the word means. When he says the elder, it is the one who, and it can mean this, an old man of age, which he was. It can mean that. Or it can mean a senior person to respect. Someone older than yourself. They may be middle-aged, they may be 20, but you may be 12, so they're an elder, and you're to respect them, assuming they're walking with God. And then the third thing, under elder, the definition of presbyteros, is a representative or an official or officer of the church. Now, which one applies to John? All three. He was an old guy who had a lot of authority, and he was older than anybody else in the church. And so he's the elder. And so he simply affectionately says, the elder, and they all would have went, oh, that's John. That's John. And he says to the elect lady and to her children, now listen to this. Nobody knows what this means. Does it mean, is he calling a church the elect lady and her children, the people who go to the church? Some scholars believe so. But then there's strong reasons to believe that he's talking to an actual woman who has children. And then there are those, like Warren Wiersbe, who does a wonderful way of compromise, in my opinion. Warren Wiersbe says, it doesn't matter because nobody knows the answer if it's to a church or to a real woman with children. The fact, he says, remains that this woman would have attended the church with her children, and John's writing not only would have applied to her, it applies to all those who read it, i.e., you and I tonight, who are of the church. And I like that kind of thinking. I love the fact that we're confused a little bit about it. Who's he writing to? Can I answer you this way? Whoever you want. What do you need tonight? When he writes personally to the elect lady, is it you in your home? Make it you in your home. Or is it perhaps to this church and all of us who attend here? Then make it that. The cool thing is you can't go wrong. It applies to the whole banana. You can take it. So what do you want? Pick it. I love it. Faith must be practical in the church, first of all, in knowing the truth. And so John says, hey, I'm the elder, and listen, I'm going to make an announcement. And so when he speaks about truth here, by the way, he in 13 verses mentions it four times, this word truth. The word in the Greek is aletheia, which means the absolute or the authenticity, the truth of God. Now there is truth that we don't necessarily equate personally to God, though it is of God. For example, it is true that electricity is shocking. That's a truth. That's an absolute. That's not exactly what we're talking about, though it is a truth. Gravity can really pull you down. That is a truth. It is a scientific fact. It is ordained by God, but that's not what we're talking about. He's talking about the truth in which you walk, the revelation of God via the Word of God, the Bible that's in your lap. To walk in the Word, to walk in the truth. I love the fact that as he goes on to talk here, he's going to talk about love, he's going to talk about truth, and those two are inseparable things. Did you know that? The real love of God cannot be separated from the truth of God. If you walk in truth, you're going to be loving. If you are loving, you're going to be walking in truth. And that is the love of God because of the truth of God. By the way, I want to say this. I think you all know it, but I'm going to squeeze it in here for an opportunity just to announce it again. I think you and I are seeing truth being slaughtered today on the altar of tolerance and on the altar of the cry for unity. We're hearing it globally, worldwide. You are going to be called upon. Just think, in my lifetime, in the not too distant future, it's highly probable that I could be arrested and taken to jail as the pastor of this church. Because the things that you and I read and what I proclaim from the Bible in a public airwave manner to your hearing could easily become illegal in our nation, as Canada has moved already in that direction. Amazing. Why? Because you could get the right group of attorneys to begin to twist that into a hate statement. This guy called people who are on drugs sinners. That's to incite a riot, you know, and that should be illegal. There is no longer a love of the truth. People want to be lied to. People don't want the truth because it makes people uncomfortable. And we become so weak, we become so watered down that even in a church, truth is not preached because the pastor or the board is afraid that people are going to walk out and no longer tithe. So the pastor is said, or is called upon, don't say these words, don't go to that Bible, that portion of the scripture, don't preach that. And there are ministries that are just huge, plump with people that are convenient, comfortable ministries that would never mention the word repent, sin, or hell. Never. A certain guy not far from here who started a drive-up church so many years ago, he's on international television, wears beautiful robes on Sunday morning, said that he will never mention the word repentance in his church because it's not positive. And it does nothing to help man think positively. Listen, without the word repentance, there is no salvation. Read your Bible. Without the word repent, there is no salvation. But what in the world are we doing as Christians? Very important that the truth be proclaimed in love, absolutely, yes. But Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? It was standing right in front of me, didn't recognize it. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, didn't he, to all of us? And the truth shall set you what? Free. Truth sets you free. Truth sets you free. I love this statement. It says here, if truth is that which is true, then what is true must be obeyed or disobeyed. Regardless, it remains truth.
Well, I'm going to make up my own truth.
Well, you can do that. Just know that your thing has got to answer to God in the end, who is the truth himself. He's it. Truth, God's truth, is to be obeyed or disobeyed, no matter what. It's truth nonetheless. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, says the Bible. Jude 1:3 says, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith or the truth, which was once for all delivered to the saints. The truth of God. The second thing we see here, faith must be practical in the church, and that we are to know the truth. The second thing is that faith comes in knowing the life that we are to be living. Verse 3, he says, grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Very unique verse of scripture here. Grace, mercy, peace, first of all. The word grace is the word in the Greek charis. It's a fantastic word. It's this word that you probably know the definition already. You've been well taught by either here or other places. And that word is divine favor or God's affection, a divine influence upon the heart, to be granted acceptability by God, to be benefited by God, this special grace that is God given. So he says grace, then he says mercy. This word mercy is divine compassion. This is what God has toward you. He has divine compassion for you. Listen, the word also means tender dealings. God looks at you and he wants to deal with you tenderly. Isn't that good to know? Hey, I don't know about you, but this is the middle of the week. I'm glad for this right here, right now. He wants to deal with me with tender dealings, tender, sweet mercies. What does the Bible say? There are new mercies every morning. Aren't you glad? Every morning. Because at night you go to bed and it's like, oh man, Lord, thank God that in the morning I'm going to get a new dose of mercy. What is mercy? This word mercy is, of course, in this word positive, but also speaks of us not receiving the negative. Mercy means that there's an axe about ready to be laid to our neck, but mercy stops it. Not only stops it, but then God bestows grace upon us. When he does that, we have peace. Irene. The word can also, in a name, be Irene.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson taken from the brief one-chapter letter we know as 2 John. The title of this lesson, We Want Faith, Hope, and Love. It's a study of how these three elements, together with God's truth, are inseparable. We want faith, hope, and love. Part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this second of three New Testament letters written by the Apostle John himself. There's more to come, so we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up our journey through John's first New Testament letter, and people are still getting in touch with us and requesting it. So, we've decided to make it available on MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now, again, here's our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series in 1 John all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, just mention this 1 John series. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like. The number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ
and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.